Acts 14, verse 21 is where we'll be, if you'll turn there, please. Wow, what a beautiful sight, these baptisms. Write those names down. Take the bulletin. They're printed there. Take them home. Take it home with you and pray every day for these young people to continue to walk with Christ. I want to read again that beautiful verse from Amazing Grace to introduce this message today. Through many trials or many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. 'Tis grace has brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. That's what we want to talk about today. The title of the message is Direct But Hopeful Words About Our Tribulation. What's the word of hope in our tribulation? It is the grace of God. It's the grace of God. I want to start out by saying it. It is the grace of God, God's grace saving us from our sins, God's grace sustaining us with the kind of spiritual encouragement from His Word that we need to carry on, and sanctifying us to become more like Christ, and sanctifying us to serve others in their tribulation as we've seen God's grace in ours. And this is what our hope is, that God will give us safe passage and deliver us all the way into the kingdom of God, our home. This is it. It's a direct word about tribulation, which means that we're going to go through them. It's a hopeful word about tribulation, which means that God's going to get us through them. Now remember, before we stand and read and pick up in this passage, that Paul and Barnabas are on an evangelistic mission, preaching the gospel, seeing many converts to Jesus Christ, and with them forming churches and establishing them in the faith, the truth. This is all last week. We talked about this all last week. Specifically, we pick up today where we did last week, in the middle of it, where we're in, they, Paul and Barnabas, are going to go back into three cities in the region of Galatia, and they're going to encourage new Christians. And this is how they do it. Stand with me in honor of God's word. Acts 14, beginning in verse 21. When they had preached the gospel in that city, that's the city of Derbe, and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. This is God's word for us. You may be seated. Now, last week, we covered the whole passage, a much larger portion of this part of Acts 14, with the exception of that one little part about tribulation. So this week, we're going to cover only that one little part about tribulation. And I hope you hear the concern. I hope you can hear the love that is in this passage. Paul and Barnabas loved these disciples. These are new disciples. What do you do with a new baby? You nurture. You swaddle. Is that the right word? You cuddle. You do things with new babies. You care for them because you love them. What do you do with new disciples? What do you do with new young people baptized? What do you do with new Christians? You love them. You have concern for them. And that's why Paul and Barnabas went back to the cities for another visit. They went through these cities, and they were persecuted. And they get to the town of Derbe, and if they had kept going through Derbe, they would have made it home. But they get to Derbe, and they turn around, and they go back the other way toward the persecution and the hardship and the conflict. and the suffering. Why? Because they loved the new disciples. They didn't want to leave them alone to fend for themselves. They left them in the hands of God. They committed them to God. But they loved them. And so they went back. And when they went back, look what it says. They strengthened their souls. They wanted to give them fresh heart. So they told them more about the grace of God. They told them more about the lordship of Jesus and the beauty of Jesus and of the Christ, the living Christ. Why? Because they wanted to strengthen them. And then they urged them to continue on in the faith. That's that established truth that we talked about last week. Stand firm, they were saying. The new disciples needed this because they're new disciples and they're new churches. And so Paul and Barnabas went back, loving them as they did, to give them what they needed. The new disciples needed something else. They needed a direct word about the road ahead. In other words, they needed a reality check. It's almost like a warning. They needed to know that the road ahead will not be easy. The days ahead will be filled with difficulty, many tribulations, he says. And because of that, these new disciples also needed hope-filled words about the road ahead. They needed to know that this road is leading somewhere. It's leading to the kingdom of God. We need to know this. The road we're on, difficult as it is actually going to end somewhere. It's going to end in the kingdom of God. And Paul and Barnabas loved them, and so they told them these things. And they did not leave them to discover these realities of the hardships to come on their own. They loved them enough to prepare them by telling them these realities and then pulling them forward with the promise of God. Do you see the love here? Do you see the love of Christ that he would give us this message? He loves us. Imagine if I say to you, a new hiker, we're going on a hike and we're going to end up at the most beautiful overlook, seeing the most beautiful vista. Or maybe you're a waterfall person. We're going to go on a hike and we're going to end up at the most beautiful waterfall. But I don't prepare you. And I don't tell you that this is going to be a 10-mile hike. I don't tell you that this hike is full of boulders that you're going to have to climb over and streams that you're going to have to cross and the elevation is going to be constantly changing. And I don't tell you that it's going to be very hot. Or maybe if your tribulation is very cold, that it's going to be very cold. I don't tell you these things. And so you eagerly show up for our hike, and you are completely unprepared. You're in flip-flops. Have I cared for you? Have I loved you? I invite you on this journey with me, but I don't tell you anything about it. Have I shown you that I have concern that you're going to make it? But what if I tell you about these things and I say, hey, there are lots of briars along the pathway and they're going to grab your ankles and your knees, so you might want to wear long pants. I say there are many dangers, toils, and snares along the way. But then I promise you something. I say to you, I promise you that if you'll go on this hike with me, I will get you to the waterfall. I'll get you there. It's going to be hard. The reality is going to be suffering. I don't want you to be surprised. I don't want you to be overwhelmed. I don't want you to quit at mile 5. I want you not to lose heart. I want you to press on. I love you. Here's what it's going to take. Here's what you're going through, but I am going to get you there. You see, now we go and you know that I care about you. This is love. This is what's happening here is preparation. It's crash course in discipleship out of love with a promise given by Paul and Barnabas to new disciples of Jesus Christ and new congregations. And this is the love of the Holy Spirit for you and for me today. He's saying to us, the Spirit is, that we will encounter many tribulations as followers of Jesus. It is direct. It's a direct word. But the Holy Spirit is saying to us today, we will enter the kingdom of God. And that's a word of promise. John Bunyan Pilgrim's Progress expounded on this. Christian is his name, and he starts out on the road, and he's going to the heavenly city, and it is hard every step of the way. Bunyan is expounding on the many trials and tribulations of a Christian. But he gets there. That's the promise that he's laying before us. John Newton wrote Amazing Grace. That's what he's saying, same thing. This is our message today. It's for all of us. It's for newly baptized young people. This is the message today. Through many tribulations, you must enter the kingdom of God. This is a message for someone who's considering Christianity. You might not be a Christian here today, and you're thinking, what is this all about? They're singing these songs, and he's talking about God. We're talking about trusting Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins and bring us in to a whole new way of living with him, and then walking with him through life on a road that we call, a path that we call discipleship, that's going to take us all the way to the kingdom of God. And if you're thinking about that, you need to know. Even before you say yes to Christ, I trust Christ, you need to know. And if you have been a disciple for 10 years, 20 years, and this summer I'm going to hit, if the math is right in my head, 49 years. Been at it a long time. You know what? We've got to know these things. We've got to remember these things. Why was I so naive to think that there would be a day when the road was easy? Well, if there is one, I haven't gotten there yet. And so we need this encouragement. It's direct, but it's hope-filled. So let's see it. Now, this is the only passage, only part of this passage I want us to look at, verse 22, saying, so they were strengthening their souls, they were encouraging them to continue in the faith, and then they were saying this, that they were talking about it, that they met together, they had classes, small groups, preach. I'm not sure exactly what the context looked like, but they were talking, saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. So we'll take that in two parts. First, the last part, the kingdom of God. And then come back and talk about the many tribulations. He says, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is God's reign and God's rule. Now, in one sense, God's reign and God's rule is over all of creation, over all of heaven, all of earth, heavenly beings, earthly beings. God is king, God is Lord, God is ruling over all things. And by the way, the devil did not send this rain. Everything comes from God. He's always in control. He's in control of nature and all the beings in nature, whether they be heavenly or earthly. So we can say, the kingdom of God, God is king over all things. However, Jesus and the apostles talk about the kingdom of God as something more specific. The reign of God now in the life of God's redeemed people and his church, and the reign of God, the rule of God in the coming kingdom when Christ returns and makes all things new and right. So because of that, very often when we talk about the kingdom of God, we use a phrase. It's called the now and the not yet nature of the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is now. It's here. Jesus came. When Jesus came the first time, we call it the incarnation, the Son of God, eternal, took on the form of a human being, a man, born of a virgin. He came and he said, the kingdom of God is at hand, is among you, is in your midst. It's here. Why? Because he came. King Jesus came. And the kingdom of God is here now because Christ has come and we have confessed him. We confess him as Lord, and therefore we are his people, and therefore we are the kingdom people living in the kingdom of God now. And we also say that the kingdom of God is not yet, because though Christ has come and the kingdom of here is here now, it is not here in its completed form. But when Christ returns, when he comes again, then he will, at that point, put down all that resists his kingship and his will. All of the world's value system, all the devil, all sin, all death itself. And the kingdom will be completed. And so we call it, there's a not yet element of the kingdom of God, meaning that someday it will be complete and it will be final. And though the kingdom of God has come in this early, we could say, inaugurated stage, it is not complete, and so there are enemies today fighting the kingdom of God. The kingdom is here. Christ came. We are people of the kingdom, seeking first the kingdom as people confessing Jesus as Lord. But Christ has not returned. So we're in that in-between state. And in that in-between state, there are enemies of the kingdom of God. And these enemies are in conflict. Conflict, the enemies of darkness, evil, sin, the devil, the world. I don't mean nature. I mean the world as a system of unbelief and a system of values without God. That's what we mean by world. And the devil and indwelling sin. All of this fighting against the kingdom of Christ and Jesus who is king. All that is to say that as Christians, we can say that we've entered into the kingdom of God because Jesus is our Lord and our King. And the kingdom is in our hearts as Christ is residing in us through union with Christ. But we can say that we're still in conflict because the enemies of the kingdom are still fighting. And that's the source of our tribulations. The source of our tribulation is the conflict that we are experiencing because there are enemies to the kingdom of God. And we can say that as Christians, we will, and this is what Paul and Barnabas are talking about when they say we will enter the kingdom of God, we will enter the kingdom of God in its full and final state when Christ returns and defeats all these enemies that are in conflict against his kingdom. We need to understand, too, about the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God is entered into by grace through faith. The kingdom of God is not entered into by tribulation, as if somehow going through tribulation causes us to enter the kingdom of God. No, we come into the kingdom of God by the grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Tribulations, though, are a part of the road that we walk as we are moving toward our death, the return of Christ, that final state that we will be in. As we're in this world as disciples of Jesus, tribulation is a part of that, and so therefore we must walk through those tribulations as we enter the kingdom of God by grace through faith. And one more thing I'll say about the kingdom of God is that it's a promise. The kingdom of God is a promise of God. Jesus said in Luke 12, he's talking to disciples, people who are following him, and they're just ordinary, maybe even weary people. And he looks at them and he says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." To come into that state of living under the lordship, the kingship of Jesus Christ, now as a believer and on the road to its fullness and completion when Christ returns, is an absolute gift and promise of God to his people. So I would say to us today, even before we get to the second part, Jesus is right here in his word. The Word is near you. The Word has come to you. And Jesus, through the Word, is calling you. He is calling you to repent of your sin, of your self-lordship, of your self-kingdom. We'll come to that in a moment, but I've got to go there now. Your self-kingdom, he says, repent of that. And turn and trust. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. to forgive you of your sins because he died for your sins on the cross, that they might be taken away if you'll trust him. Trust him and follow him and enter his kingdom and seek his kingdom now. Jesus is standing in the Word and he's calling. Jesus is standing before us now and he's calling us, even as believers, to seek first the kingdom by living under his lordship. And Jesus is standing right now in the Word, and he's looking at us and he's promising us life. He's promising us the kingdom to come. He's promising full, new, right, eternal life where he reigns as King and Lord and we can be with him. Trust Christ. There's the kingdom of God. Now the second part is actually the first thing he says. Through many tribulations, you must enter the kingdom of God. Let's talk about the many tribulations of the disciple of Jesus. And I'll say several things. First is this. For the disciple of Jesus, tribulations are a reality. And they are difficult. They're a reality and they're difficult. Jesus said this. These are Jesus, we read them a moment ago. These are Jesus' words. He said, I have said these things to you that in me you might have peace. Now, what would Jesus say to his disciples so that they would have peace? If you stopped there and you didn't know the rest of the passage, you'd think Jesus would say something like, I'm saying these things that you'll have peace. And here's what I'm going to say that you'll have peace. Your life is going to be easy. Follow me and there'll be no tribulations. He says, I say these things so that you'll have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But he continues, take heart. I have overcome the world. This is the message of Paul and Barnabas. They're repeating Jesus. You will experience tribulation, but God will get you into the kingdom. Why? Because Jesus has overcome the world. So get this, okay? Let's understand this. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, tribulation will come. And then get this, it will be difficult. It is hard. The road is hard. Suffering hardship, Paul called it when he was talking to Timothy. And also he called it persecution. And Peter called it a fiery ordeal. And James called it the testing of our faith. And Isaiah called it the deep waters and the fire. And the Psalms call it the wilderness and the dry and weary land and the prison. It's difficult. And may I encourage you with this? There is no reason for you to compare your hardship with those of other people. Because what people do is they say, oh, compared to that person, I'm not experiencing much tribulation. Do you know the outcome of that? The outcome of saying, well, my tribulation is not as much as someone else's, therefore I don't have anything to complain about. The outcome of that is that you will not turn to God and you will not find his comfort and his help in your tribulation. I was reading Job, interestingly, as I launched into just this verse, just this line last Monday morning. It was right after I started reading through the book of Job in my quiet time. And I thought to myself, which led me to think, just like I just said don't do, I thought, wow, my tribulations don't compare to Job's. And then the thought I had is this. If I can only learn, and I can only grow, and I can only be encouraged by the life of Job and God's gracious work in the life of Job, if my tribulations are on the level of Job's, then I will never be encouraged at all. Because there will always be someone who has a more difficult time in life than I do. So does that exclude me from being able to say I have tribulations and they're real and they're difficult and I can turn to God and find help? You don't have to do that. Your tribulations as a follower of Jesus are real and they're difficult. And you don't have to compare with other people. So that you'll come before the Lord. Another thing about these tribulations is we experience them because kingdoms are in conflict with one another. Now, Jesus is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord and King in the kingdom of God. And when we are Christians, Jesus Christ is our Lord and He is our King. And that immediately puts us in conflict with other kingdoms. I've already mentioned them, but let me spend just a few minutes on them. This immediately puts us in conflict with the kingdom of self. Self-lordship, self-kingship, and we call that indwelling sin. Indwelling sin is the remaining sin within our hearts even after we become a Christian. We are forgiven. We can, by the power of the Holy Spirit, put sin to death, but it remains as indwelling sin, and we have to fight against it because it fights against the lordship, the kingship of Jesus in our hearts. It is a lifelong fight against indwelling sin as we seek to put it to death, and that is a form of tribulation. It's hard to be holy. You have to fight a good fight. And that is a form of tribulation. And fighting is a sign of life and health and growth and holiness, not a defeat. People say, something is wrong with me because I'm a Christian, but I keep having all these temptations that come from within my own heart. What's wrong with me? Well, nothing is wrong with you except that you're a growing Christian. And the fact that you are fighting it, the fact that you are even aware to fight it, the fact that you want to fight it is a good sign. You should rejoice in that. Praise God, you're born again when you want to fight indwelling sin in your heart. And that is a form of our tribulation that we go through as we're entering the kingdom of God. And then it puts us in conflict with the world. Now again, remember, I'm not talking about the world as in nature. We're talking about I'm not talking about you can't enjoy the things of the world. There are beautiful things in the world. God has common gifts in the world. There's food and there's relationships and there's art and there's leisure and there's, as we said, nature and there's work and there's all these beautiful things in this world that God gives us to enjoy. When we say world, we're talking about a system of unbelief, a system of values that is against, in conflict with God, with the lordship of Christ. And that's what we mean by the world. And the world is like this flowing river toward a sea of destruction. And you and I as Christians are swimming upstream. Oh, the pressure of that. That's a tribulation. And sometimes the persecution of that. That's a tribulation. Many of you are suffering that in your home. You've come to faith in Christ, and the people in your home don't understand that. Maybe it's your parents or your siblings, but they don't understand that. And you feel the weight of that. And the world can become very enticing to us to get our minds off of Christ and onto other things. And that is a form of pressure, and that is a tribulation. And then we're in conflict with the devil. 1 Peter 5, he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Now, this you got to know very quickly. His power is limited, okay? The devil is not all-powerful. We need to stop believing that. He only does what he's allowed to do. God is sovereign. He doesn't make you do anything because he's not all-powerful. He can't make you do stuff. His power is limited and his days are numbered. But he can tempt you. And he can accuse you. Have you already had the thought this morning, I don't measure up? Have you already had the thought this morning, I'm not sure if God loves me? Have you already had the thought this morning, there's no way I'll ever get over this sin in my life? Have you ever had the thought this morning, I'm not as good as the other people at Grace Community Church, or I don't belong there? Do you know where that came from? It came from the devil. He is an accuser. He is a discourager. He suggests evil things to us. You say, I'm a Christian. I confess Jesus is Lord. Why did that awful, sinful, grotesque thought run through my mind? Because the devil attacks God's people. And he throws thoughts at them. And that is part of our tribulation. And we take up the shield of faith so we can stop these things. Now, there's our tribulation. The indwelling sin, the world, the devil. And you might be thinking, well, what about just the normal tribulations of life? Like financial needs and sicknesses and things breaking around the house. Isn't that a tribulation too? Well, yes, these are hard things. But, you know, these are tribulations and hardships that everybody in life experiences, whether they're a follower of Jesus Christ or not. That's part of living in the world. But they can become tribulations in this regard. When they begin to test our faith. This is what he's talking about. This is why he's encouraging these believers, because he wants them to remain in the faith. And the tribulations he's talking about here are the tribulations that test our faith. So when the finances or the sicknesses or the things that break or the relational difficulty or all of these things begin to test our faith, when in them indwelling sin rears its head and the world starts to pull and the devil starts to attack to lead us away from Christ, you can bet we are experiencing the tribulations that come with being Christians. And I say again that these tribulations are not a sign of God's displeasure on you. Please, brothers and sisters, please, I've talked to so many of you over the years, please hear me, okay? Tribulations are not a sign of God's displeasure in your life. Tribulations come to faithful, born-again children of God. Because they are a part of the reality of this life, and the fact that you see them, the fact that you want to press on through them, the fact that you want to be faithful to Christ means there is spiritual life in you. You're born again and you should rejoice. And remember this, in all of them, you have a Savior in each one of these tribulations. You do. Listen, you have a Savior. Your Savior Jesus, He died for your sin. And He forgives you of your sin. And He has defeated sin as the dominating power of your life. And He has defeated sin as the identity marker of your life. He has defeated that. And He will walk with you in every tribulation that you have in an encounter with sin, because He loves you and He is your Savior. And you have a Savior as you walk through this world. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. And as you experience the pressure and the pull of this world, He's with you. Walk with Him. Invite Him in. Don't push Him away. Invite Him in. He walks with us in this world. He'll get us where we need to be. And when you go through the tribulations that come with facing the accusations of the devil, Jesus Christ has defeated him at the cross. And someday, I love this verse in Romans, He will crush his head under our feet. So trust Him. In the tribulation that you experience as the devil attacks you, Jesus is your Savior. Tribulations come with temptations and opportunities. Did you know that every time you experience a hardship, you're being tempted? Do you know your temptations? I know mine. I know what I'm tempted to do when I experience certain hardships. That's the only, maybe one of the few benefits of getting older, is you start to see your temptations and your tendencies. And I know mine. They're not pretty. Do you know yours? Like, you go through the tribulations of being a Christian and you start to doubt God's love. Have you ever thought, surely you wouldn't say it because you're too you're too churched for that. But you might think it. God, why do you love me? Or why do you love that person more than you love me? I thought that one time. It's a temptation in the midst of a tribulation. Tribulations can do that. Sometimes in tribulation, you attach cause to the wrong thing. Did you know that when you go through the tribulations of life, God is not punishing you? He's testing you. He's building you, but he's not punishing you. And do you know that a lot of the tribulations in life, you don't cause me. What am I doing wrong? I'm going through such a hard time. You might not be doing anything wrong. You might be doing everything right. You're going through tribulation. One temptation in tribulation is to indulge the self-life. You can sin in your tribulations. You can. And you can indulge the self-life by saying, I'll get out of the dis-ease and the pressure of this temptation. I'll just go indulge myself. You can process your tribulations with the world's value system and try to get after other people. Well, if they did that to you, do that back. You can listen and believe the devil's lies. You know what I've seen? A lot of people in the midst of tribulation decide it's time to stay away from other Christians and other churches and their church. I don't understand this. It baffles me. You know, when I get through this hard time, I think I'll return to church. What on earth? Because you're in a hard time, you should be with your brothers and sisters in Christ saying, I'm in a hard time. I'm going through a tribulation. Would you please pray with me? Would you please help me? I need Christ. Thankfully, we're doing that in the hallways, and sometimes it's a little awkward when you start doing that even in the bathroom, but thankfully, we're doing that around here at Grace as people are just saying, would you help me? Would you pray for me? We should be doing that. Another temptation is to compare yourself with others. Stop. It's not going to help you. It won't get you to Christ. My tribulations are worse than theirs, or my tribulations are not as bad as theirs, or they're better than me. Stop blaming others and quitting. These are all temptations. What do you do with them? You turn them to Christ. You turn to Christ. You say, lead me not into temptation, Jesus. But oh, the opportunities of our tribulations. There's such opportunity. When you go through a hard time for the sake of following Christ, you have a wonderful opportunity to put the sin in your heart to death. You have a wonderful opportunity to not love the world. You have a wonderful opportunity to resist the devil. When you go through tribulation, you have a wonderful opportunity to experience the depth of fellowship with Jesus like you've never experienced before. I try to remind myself and I try to remind other people, when we are going through the tribulations of life, if we will go through them, not perfectly, not in our own strength, not saying and doing everything right, not putting on a smile, but go through them really, really with Jesus, trusting Him, inviting Him in, fellowshipping with Him, He will eventually get us on the other side and we will know Him more deeply. We will know Christ more deeply than we did before. And He will mature our faith. James 1, He will mature our faith and make us perfect and complete. And He will, First Peter 5, He will restore us and confirm us and strengthen us and establish us until the day of Christ Jesus. And you know what else? We have an opportunity when we go through tribulations to grow in love and in understanding and in sympathy with other people. This needs to be a church. We need to be brothers and sisters of sympathy with other people. We need to sympathize with what people are going through. We need to be able to say, I love you and I care about you. And I may not know the details of your suffering and your trial and your tribulation, and I may not be able to even relate to them, but I do know something about tribulation. But what I know more, and you know too, let's do it together. We know Christ will get us through. And you love and you live with people in their tribulations. We can do this. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1, we're comforted. And when we're comforted in our affliction, in our tribulation, we can turn and comfort one another. And we have a great opportunity to walk the road to the kingdom of God. I close with this. Final word about tribulation. The tribulations won't last. But the kingdom of God will. The kingdom of God will last forever. So don't quit. Be prepared. It's a long road. Young people who are baptized, new Christians among us, people walking with Jesus a long time, remember, it's a long road ahead. And there's going to be a lot of normal hardships in it. But we're going to experience the tribulations that come with following Jesus. But we have a promise. He'll get us all the way home. Press on.